Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 16. So recall from last week, the last couple of weeks, Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain was of that wicked one. He was a child of the devil. He rejected the word of God. He made the wrong offering. The whole pattern of his life was wrong because he was not following the word of God. He did not live a life of faith. The Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Abel, in contrast, lived a life of faith in the word of God. He did according to the will of God. He did the things which please God. He was a righteous man who did righteous works, and when it was time to make an offering to God, he made the right offering, and God commended him for that. But then we also see that Cain hated his brother without a cause. He was envious of his brother because Abel was accepted, Cain wasn't, and instead of and God even came to him twice and tried to turn him onto the right path and give him space for repentance and show him, look, Cain, you need to be like Abel, your brother. You need to do well. You need to do what's right in my sight, and then you'll be accepted. And God was trying to help him. He was caring for Cain, but Cain just wouldn't have it. And he rejected the word of God. He hated his brother. Then he went and murdered his brother. And last time we saw how the Lord punished Cain, still wasn't even willing to execute vengeance on him right then. He wasn't willing to kill him and put him to death, even though that's exactly what Cain deserved. God would just, life was so precious to him that he was even willing to give Cain another chance to repent. And we saw that the Lord punished Cain. He sent him out from the human society, and told him that he would be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And we looked at that last time. So starting in verse 16. It says, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methusael. And Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Okay, so that is our text for today. We're starting off in verse 16 to 18, and what we see here is really the epilogue to Cain's life. This is the last we hear about Cain, except for a little bit in the New Testament. In 1 John talks about the manner of man that Cain was, But this is really the end of Cain's story here. Verse 16, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Again, we talked about this a little bit last time, but God didn't really thrust him out from his own presence. He set him apart from human society. He says, you're going to be a fugitive and a vagabond. But I think it was in the hopes that Cain would seek the Lord.
Right.
Like we read about in Lamentations. He'd realize the punishment, that it's just. And instead of saying, my punishment is greater than I can bear, you know, complaining about the punishment, say, hey, you know what? I deserve this. I just committed the most wicked act in human history. And I need mercy. And asking for forgiveness. God gave him space for repentance, but he was never pardoned. Why? Because he had no repentance. He never said, oh, I'm sorry, I killed my brother. He never said that. No remorse. But Cain took it upon himself to go out from the presence of the Lord. And that's not a good place to be. We need to be in the presence of the Lord. He is life. He's blessing, he's light, he's everything that's good. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. And it says that he dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Where is the land of Nod? What is the land of Nod? Who named it the land of Nod? Well, the word Nod basically means wandering. It means to wander. Okay, so I have a feeling that this land was named after what Cain was doing there. He was wandering. A lot of times, places in the Bible are actually like, because the book was written after the fact of what happened, whoever's writing the book a lot of times gives it the name that isn't even established until the future, after the thing actually happened. And I think that's the case here. So I'm going to use the board a little bit just to kind of paint a picture here. He says, the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Okay, so this is north, south, east is over here. Okay, west, there's a little compass for you. Okay, so here you've got Eden. Garden of Eden, okay? And Cain goes out from the presence of the Lord, and he dwells in the east, in the land of Nod, to the east of Eden. So that's over here. We'll just call this Nod, which again means wandering, okay? And I was just thinking this morning about how Moses says in Psalm 90, verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. God is the dwelling place. God is where the home is. We're supposed to be dwelling in God and in his presence. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He went out from where he was supposed to be. You know what he did? He wandered. That's the only place you can go when you leave the presence of God. So he's to the east of Eden, in the land of Nod here, and it says that verse 17, Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. So a couple things here. First of all, who was Cain's wife? This is something that puzzles a lot of people. Who is Cain's wife? I mean, you have Adam and Eve. They have two sons. Where did Cain get a wife from? Well, here's the answer. It's back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, where it says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Cain had a living wife. Guess where she came from? She came from Eve. Okay? Cain married one of his sisters. There's really only two possibilities, okay? There's only two possibilities. Either Cain married one of his sisters, or Abel got married first, had a daughter and then Cain married her. But we have no record of that. It's the most logical thing is Cain married one of his sisters. You say, oh, that's so terrible. That's so bad. We could never, that's so wrong to marry your sister. Back then it wasn't wrong. There's nothing intrinsically immoral to that. Now, later on, much later in human history, and I'm not going to get into all the things with the genes and all that, but later on, I think it's in the book of Leviticus that God says, okay, you know what? No marrying your sister. Okay? That was something that was very common up until that point, but at some point God said, okay, that's not allowed anymore. Okay? At this point, it's totally fine. It's what you did. Again, it says Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived, bare Cain. She again bare his brother Abel. So you have these two sons, but there's a lot that's not being said here that's going on. Adam lived to be over 900 years old. And at the beginning of chapter 5, it says, verse 4, the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Adam begat lots of sons and daughters over the course of 800 years. Okay? Yeah, there were lots of them. Okay. So Cain had a wife. We know who she was, where she came from. It's very obvious. It also says that he dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after his son Enoch, or Enoch. So he has a son. By the way, the name Enoch, it basically means dedicated. And it's very interesting because this Enoch, Cain builded a city and dedicated it to his son, called it after his name, Enoch. And then we're going to see another Enoch in the following chapter who is going to be very dedicated to the Lord. So these names that come up in here, a lot of times they're very telling. They really tell you something about someone's life or the manner of person that they were. So Cain builded a city. So in the land of Nod here, he builds a city, and they start multiplying. And it turns out, I mean, it's kind of hard to have a city with one person, right? But he builds a city here called Enoch, okay, which is the first city in human history. And I was just thinking about, you know, there's really not a lot of detail in these chapters. So you pay attention to the details that are in here. So this land and the city are on the east of Eden, or to the east of Eden. But look back at chapter 3 and in verse 23 and 24. So when God expels Adam and Eve from the garden, it says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Okay? You've got Cain on the east of Eden here, and then right in the gateway here, you have these cherubims. I don't know how to... I'm not going to make a great effort to draw one of these things here, but you got these cherubims and you got this flaming sword here. Okay. Yeah. That's a flaming sword. Okay. And these are on the east of Eden, and Cain's city is on the is eastward of Eden. So I'm just thinking about Cain's descendants. Like, what did they see? Eden was still there. There's cherubims there. There's this flaming sword. I don't really know what that looked like, but just imagine a big flaming sword. And just imagine your Cain's descendants living in the city,
And, it, one day you go out, you see this thing, because it's right there.
And you come back and you're like, hey, Dad, you know, I just saw this. There's big angels, you know, and there's this big flaming sword. And it's like, this garden looks pretty cool. We wanted to get in there, but we couldn't because all this stuff. Cain, or Dad, what's that all about? Can you imagine being Cain in that situation? What do you tell these kids? Well, yeah, that was Grandpa and Grandma used to live there. And then they got kicked out. Because why? What do you tell them when you're Cain? But what I'm trying to say is these people had a witness there. They had something that they could see and they could ask questions about. And it's not like they were just completely in ignorance here. God always leaves himself a witness. I'm on the wrong page here. So we builded a city and called it Enoch after the name of his son, Enoch. And then they start to multiply, verse 18. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. These are some interesting names. I did look them up, but I couldn't really get a clear meaning on some of these. Like, I think Mehujael, it could either mean that God has smitten him, or it could mean that God is life. And I don't have any knowledge of Hebrew to be able to discern what it was. The other guy, Methusael, I think it could either mean that God is his death, or it could mean man of God. So I'm just kind of looking at the pattern here. I'm guessing that what Cain taught his children about God probably wasn't good, because Cain was not a follower of God. He departed from the presence of the Lord. But it is clear that based on these names, they end with El. That is the name of God. These names had something to do with God, whether for good or for not good. And then Lamech, I could not really get a meaning on this guy's name. But you can see, as we get into this guy's life, there's not much said about him, but there seems to be a pattern with this guy. So verse 19, and Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, in the name of the other, Zillah. Ada, I believe, means beautiful, and Zillah means like shadow. Thought that was interesting. Lamech is the first polygamist in the Bible. God set this thing up so there was one man and there was one woman. He didn't give Adam more than one wife. He gave him one, exactly one. And that was kind of the pattern that things were supposed to go. Cain had one wife, as far as I can tell. I don't know, maybe he had more. But Lamech took unto him two wives. That's one thing that you see about Lamech, is he seems to feel himself very entitled to get more than he should have. Then down to, we'll come back to him in a bit. But in verse 20, it says, Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. Okay, well, what have you got bad to say about Jabal? I mean, he's a descendant of Cain. There's got to be something wrong with him, right? Look, I don't know. This is all it says about this guy. is that he's the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. Is it wrong to dwell in tents? No. Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents, the Bible says. Paul was a tent maker. He wouldn't be doing it if it was some horrible occupation, you know, to dwell in tents. And of such as have cattle. Why would you have cattle? For milk? I don't know. I guess there's other things you could do with cattle. You could use them to plow if you're going to be a farmer. You could, you know, use them to plow the land and fertilize it and all that. But, yeah, I mean, he's a guy. He has a job. He's got an industry that he's developing in it. One thing that's interesting about this is it says he's the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. Anybody ever dwell in a tent before? Well, we just talked about Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Does that mean Jacob was a literal descendant of this man? No. Any of you have cattle? Maybe not. Okay. My sister does. She is not a descendant of this man, Jabal. But it says that he's the father of such. What does that mean? Well, there's different kinds of fathers. There's Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. Well, what does that make Adam? Well, it makes him the father. And his children take after him in certain ways. They inherit certain characteristics from him. That's what it means to be a father. We also saw that Cain is a child of the devil. What does that mean? He takes after the devil.
Right.
He's a liar. He's a murderer. He hated his brother without a cause. That's just the kind of man that he was. But here it says that this man, Jabal, was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. This is an industry or a profession that he started. It's like when you you look at people in history, like you'll read about some guy who's the father of modern medicine or the father of astronomy or whatever. It basically means that he was very important in getting it started. And you take after him. If you take after him, he's kind of your father in that sense. The same thing with the next verse. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. So this guy was a musician, and he was kind of, if not the first musician, the first notable one, I guess. He was the father of it. Again, that doesn't mean that music is bad or that the harp and organ are the devil's instrument. No, it's just a normal human thing. God gave man some very special gifts. He gave him a very impressive intellect, a lot of creative abilities, and they're expressed in different ways, in different people. God gives different people different gifts. That's just how it is. I also thought it was kind of interesting, the progression, because it talks about a few different careers in this chapter. You start off with Cain. He was a tiller of the ground. He was a farmer. What did he do? He produced food. Abel was a keeper of sheep. Well, what did that mean? Well, he produced clothing. Okay? You're talking about the most essential things for human life. You need food. You need clothing. What other things do you need? Well, you need shelter. Well, here you go. Jabal is the father of such as dwell in tents. Right? This thing is progressing very naturally. It's starting with the most basic human necessities. And once those are established, then the economy starts to diversify. And you get other more non-essential things, if you will, like the harp and organ. Look, if nobody is producing food and nobody is producing clothing, the first person that comes along isn't going to be playing the harp and the organ. He's going to starve to death in a week, you know? The most essential things are being taken care of first, and then stuff like this, the harp and organ. Verse 22, and Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. So this is he's like the father of smithing, or the father of our artificing, if you will. Okay? Again, it's not a bad profession. There's a lot of this artificing work that's done for example, for the tabernacle, for the temple. These are not bad professions, just because this guy was one of Cain's descendants. As a matter of fact, when you consider that a few chapters later, the earth is destroyed, none of Cain's descendants actually survive. Unless perhaps Noah's sons' wives were descendants of Cain. That's a possibility, I guess. But we don't know. Anyway, it also mentions the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah, but it doesn't really say anything about her. I believe her name means pleasant. Okay, verse 23, going back to Lamech. It says, Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. Okay. I can't give you 100% certainty on what he's talking about here. I see there's a few different possibilities. One, he's saying that he's slain a man, and the slaying of that man was to his own hurt. Like, he realized that evil is upon him, or he's slain this man, and it that in itself hurt him
right. Somehow.
He could be saying that. Another possibility is that he's saying, I have slain a man to my wounding. He was a man to my wounding. I slew a young man to my hurt. He's saying, someone hurt me, so I killed him. That's a very real possibility. He says in verse 24, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Now, Cain didn't say, well, I'll be avenged sevenfold. No, that was something that God said. He put a mark on Cain and said, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. That was the decree of God. But then you see this guy Lamech, and as I said, he seems to feel very entitled. He seems like, it looks like he's saying, I deserve seven times more protection than Cain got. So there's not a lot that we can say about Lamech other than that he does not seem to be a very good character. He starts off by taking more wives than he's supposed to have. And then you see he ends up killing somebody. And then it almost looks like he's kind of boasting about it. But again, I can't say for sure what the meaning of that little speech in verse 23 is. But that's what it looks like to me. Okay, going down to verse 25. It says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Again, remember we started off Genesis 4, and Eve has her first child, Cain, and this is after she's been given this promise that her seed is going to be the one to bruise the head of the serpent, the enemy of man. And she's looking forward to this. This is the Messiah that's coming, okay? He's not called that yet, but they're expecting this seed to come and to destroy Satan. And that was one of their great hopes at this point. And so Cain is born, and she's probably thinking, oh, here's the seed. But then when you see the pattern of Cain's life and you see him killing his brother Abel. You see him, this is not the seed that God promised. He's not going to destroy the devil. He's taking after the devil. He's following the devil. He's just like the devil. He's a murderer from the beginning. So she realizes at this point, look, Cain is not the seed. Abel, he should have been the seed. Abel was the righteous one. So what does she say? She bears another son and then realizes, God hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. In the stead of Abel. Okay? So what happens? If Abel's the seed, well, guess what? He was killed. No more seed. No more hope. That's the end, right? Well, here in this verse, you see hope resurrected.
Man.
The hope is now brought back. God hath appointed me another seed,
right,
instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And I see this as like a picture of Christ, who is the real seed. He died. It's almost like hope was lost, right? Mm-hmm. But then that hope was resurrected.
Amen.
He was resurrected. And in that sense, it's almost like the resurrected Christ is the seed in the stead of the Christ who was put to death. That's kind of what I see here. Good verse to go along with that idea is in 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 3, this is the verse that came to mind when I was looking at this. First Peter chapter 1 and it's interesting, I was starting at verse 2 because we read last week in Hebrews 12 talking about the blood of Christ, the blood of sprinkling, speaking better things than the blood of Abel. First Peter chapter 1 verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And there it is. You can see the resurrection of Jesus Christ being tied to the begetting again. Again, Seth, appointed, that's what his name means, appointed as another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. All right, and then we come down to verse 26, and this is probably, I find this to be the most interesting verse in the whole chapter. Verse 26, it says, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. When I was a kid, I had a textbook. I did a curriculum through, I was homeschooled through Christian Liberty Academy. And I had a certain textbook that taught some of these verses. And it said, oh, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And the book said, that wasn't a good thing. The book said, that's blasphemy. They were calling on the name of the Lord like, we hate you, God. That's not at all what this is saying. That's not at all what this is saying. And you can see the proof of that is in what this guy's name means. The name Enos means mortal. It has the idea of frailty and weakness. What is going on in this chapter is that men begin to multiply. You have Cain over here, the first murderer after his father, the devil. and he's multiplying. And you know, maybe people are looking at Cain and thinking, wow, that guy was just, he was the bad apple. He's the one that really messed up. Look how bad it is what he did. Wow, so at least he's the only one, right? But then not long after that, a couple generations here, actually, yeah, this is his, a few generations later. But remember, these people are super old. They're like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of year old, okay? And they see this other guy, Lamech, he comes along. He kills someone else. And then it becomes obvious, Cain killing somebody, it wasn't just a one-off thing. The problem is sin,
right,
and it is spreading, and men are dying. Men that God created to live, man breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, and now men are killing each other. And they realize something has gone terribly wrong. We're in deep trouble. As man multiplies, what else multiplies is sin and violence and murder and death. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord because they realized they needed him. They needed him. That's what the calling upon the name of the Lord was. They realized, like that name Enos signifies, man is mortal, he's frail, he's weak, he needs God.
Man.
Just some of the verses, we'll end with this, but we're going to go to a bunch of verses here. Just throughout the Bible that talk about calling upon the name of the Lord. You don't have to turn to all these because I'm going to go through them kind of fast. But Genesis chapter 12, verse 8. It's talking about Abraham. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Genesis 26, verse 25. And this is Isaac. And it says, and he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. We'll go to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. In verse 8, it says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. This calling upon his name is about thanks. It's about praise. Let's go to the book of Psalms, Psalm 99. Psalm 99 in verse 6. It says, Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. That's what happens when you call upon the name of the Lord. He will answer you. Psalm 105, in verse 1, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Psalm 116, verse 4, then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 4. It says, and in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Lamentations, chapter 3. And verse 55. It says, I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice.
Amen.
Joel. The book of Joel, one of the minor prophets. Chapter 2 and verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Just for the sake of time, I'm just going to skip ahead to one last one. It's probably the most famous one. And this is Romans 10:13. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Okay? Call upon the Lord because he will answer.
Right.
You've got to call upon him in truth. You got to be sincere about it. And he will hear you. Just to kind of recap here, what is Genesis 4 really about? What you see here is a division of man. The division between the men who fear God and trust in him and know that their help is only in God. He's the only one that they can really hope in and find their help in. And that's a very small group. There's only two verses at the end here that talk about men beginning to call upon the name of the Lord and realize that they need him. On the other hand, you have the rest of human society. And what are they all about? Well, they go out from the presence of the Lord and dwell in a land of wandering. They have children. They build cities. And they call their cities after their children. This is Cain is like the first Gentile in the Bible. This is really what Gentiles are. They're about family. They're about culture. They're about building things up. They're about investing in this world. And you can see that his children, they're all about, well, I'm going to do this industry. I'm going to have this profession. I'm going to focus on this. I'm going to do music. I'm going to do cattle. But all these people, they're focused on this life. And the things that they focus on in this life does not solve the problem. I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. Sin is the problem. The only solution is God. And sadly, most of the world doesn't want the solution. All right, that's it for today. Thank you all for being here this morning.